From the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the Jack and Spike Show.
Welcome back to the Jack and Spike Show. Transportation tax levy. Super sexy media. Am I right?
nothing gets our ears perked up is like transportation tax levy.
Maybe I should just throw Donald Trump in there a little bit so that people feel he's involved in this somehow. I'm sure he is. Recent utility vandalism impacts residents in Kitsap and King counties. There's a headline behind the headline that I think people need to know about because although on the face it just seems like it's vandalism, there's something going on behind the scenes. A little sabotage, Nicholas, is what I like to call it. And also, power may be turned off in parts of Washington. You're going to want to know why. The transportation levy thing, Spike, I just cannot. It is annoying to me to see whenever government comes hat in hand and says, So, listen, you guys, we got a lot of stuff that we want to do, and you know the money that we already take from you every month or so?
Yeah. I know it well.
I'm going to have to double that, and
yeah.
I'm going to have to go ahead and see. So I was watching The Godfather Part 2, and I saw the scene where the old capo comes and he talks to Robert De Niro, and he doubles the amount of money from the olive oil business, and there's nothing that Robert De Niro can do, so he shoots him. But then I realized that the state has a monopoly on violence, so you guys can't do anything.
It's out of our hands.
So we're just going to go ahead and take, like, another, sure, it's, what is it now, $17?
It's $26 now, if I'm not mistaken. It's going to jump to $41.
Just going to go ahead and basically double that bad boy, boom. And because we need to, I want stuff. It's to put it nicely.
You want stuff.
Right,
it's you. You want stuff, Seattle, and to pay for that stuff you want, we're going to need to take your money.
So the news release by the mayor states that the proposal was composed of following a public comment period and is shaped by community input. That's a great joke from the mayor. What did he really say? why is no one else laughing? That's a great joke, right? I mean, he says shaped by community input, right? Oh, he wasn't joking, I suppose. Over the last month, we've received feedback from thousands of Seattle residents who want a transportation system that is safe, connected, and well-maintained. It's called a car. This proposal will help us get there, goes on to say, with a focus on the essential needs of our city and its residents. This levy proposal will deliver projects and improvements to keep people moving and to keep people safe. Again, it's called a motor vehicle. No matter your preferred method of transportation, these investments are designed to make trips safer, more reliable, and better connected so every Seattleite can go get where they need to go. I can already go where I need to go. Give me back my $17, please. Like, I already can go everywhere. There is not a place in this city that I cannot go. Crazy. You know, Frank and I actually went out to the Olympics like 3 weeks ago or whatever.
Take five different buses when you went?
No, we drove in a car.
Yeah. Oh, what?
Because I can literally go anywhere I want to go. I had lunch with Joe and his dinner with Joe and his lovely wife over in Capitol.
Yeah. Did you take the light rail to that?
Nope. I took Joe's car because I can go anywhere I want to go. I'm getting mad. This is why I'm getting mad.
I know you are, but let's think about the least among us, Jack. Let's think about those who don't have a car.
Because you can walk places. I did this crazy thing the other day where my prescription was ready at the Safeway on Capitol Hill. So I left my apartment. And I used this thing called my feet, and I walked all the way over there. And it only took me a scant 40 minutes to do so. And then when I was done, do you guys want to know what I did? Pop quiz. I walked back.
What?
I got a nice hour and a half of exercise because I can literally go. This is a nonsense sales pitch from the mayor because they want to buy something that is too expensive. Does that make sense? They want to purchase something that is too expensive. My grandfather gave me some of the best pieces of financial advice I ever got in my life. You know what he told me?
What?
I wanted to buy a new guitar. Mm-hmm. It was expensive for me at the time. It was like a $600 guitar. I was 16 years old.
Okay.
And I said, I have the money for it, but I'm not sure if I want to buy it. And he sat me down and he said, well, you know, Jack, I got to tell you something. I learned something from my days at General Telephone and Electric as a vice president. And the company, we had this rule, is that if we could buy five of those things, no matter how expensive it was, we would buy it. A new system, a new workforce, whatever it might be.
Okay.
Right? If you can purchase five of them, you can buy it. Can you buy five of those guitars? He said, no, I can't. He said, you probably shouldn't buy it then, right?
Oh, he wasn't telling you to buy five. He says if you have five times the cost of something, you can afford to
buy it.
Exactly,
exactly.
That's sound financial advice.
I still use that financial advice to this day.
It's pretty good.
Which is why I just bought a macaque. That's right. It's a monkey.
Is that a monkey?
From South America.
How many strings?
What?
12 string? Oh, no, a real monkey.
It's a real monkey. And I'm training it to bring me my towels because I have a heated container for my towels, and I'm
sure,
training.
Who doesn't?
His name is Gustav, and his only job in my house is to wear a suit of armor and bring me my heated towels. It's a very, very expensive training, but I can afford five of it, so I can waste my money on whatever.
Well played, Jack Stein.
So Friday's proposal asks for an additional $100 million. The levy increase is $17. This is just poor city management. I can already get everywhere I need to go. I can do everything I need to do. I don't have any of the problems that the mayor is. I feel safe in this city. I don't feel at risk. I feel totally fine.
You are a minority in the city to feel the way that you do.
I prefer biracial, Spike, but you can say minority if you want to.
A majority of satellites feel, first off, the city's growing at an incredible rate. Right. We want new business. We want expanded business centers here. Right.
Yeah.
And to that end, you will need mass transportation to be throughout the city. You're talking about these 15-minute villages.
We already have it.
We have a 1980s transportation system in a 2025 city.
It works. I see people on the bus all the time.
But don't you want security guards so those people on the bus aren't smoking fentanyl? That costs, too.
Not $100 million, guy. Recent utility vandalism impacts residents in Kitsap and King counties. So basically what people are doing is they're going around and they're cutting power cables and they're cutting mostly from what it looks like. It's like Xfinity cords, basically.
So I thought this was all people stealing like precious resources, copper thieves.
Kind of.
Chasing after that high.
Kind of. But
you said there's a headline behind the headline,
and it involves a little bit of the old sabotage, Nicholas. I think you know what I'm talking about. Basically breaks down like this. There are a group of people out there, and I know that people are going to think that I'm conjuring this up out of thin air, but okay, you can look into this. There is a movement in many developed countries by people who believe that 5G or that level of like even 10G in some cases is causing cancer, autism, disease. And so they go around sabotaging these massive Ethernet or, you know, internet. They disrupt, like in the UK, what they do is they find the wireless towers. And
there's some conspiracy theories are causing people to vandalize.
Yeah, exactly. And you can look this up in the UK. What they do is they go up to the 5G towers and they cut the boxes where all the cords go up into the tower, and they remove the main point of contact between the towers and the ground wire.
Wouldn't just a tinfoil hat stop that? Do you have to affect the rest of us?
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. Mickey Gomez with a traffic update for us.
I know. We got a text message. We got a text message from Sully. He says that he's been sitting in this for about 40 minutes now. So we're looking at about a seven mile backup northbound I-5 just south of 518 in Tukwila. Okay. Looks like the two left lanes, including the northbound HOV bypass, are closed because of this collision. And they're saying delays. So if you can try and bail at 216th and move on over to 99 northbound. However, everyone's trying to do that. So thank you, guys. Cairo News Radio, real-time traffic. I'm Mickey Gomez.
Thank you, Mickey Gomez. We appreciate you so very much. So what's been going on is there's this weird subculture of people. And again, people can fact check me on this. They are people who are deeply mentally unwell and they're conspiratorial. And so they think that by cutting these cables, they are doing a certain amount of sabotage, Nicholas. You know what I'm talking about, my friend. Certain amount of the old sabotage. Just waiting for that to punctuate my joke. There it is. Sabotage on the system so that they can disrupt the entire Xfinity, 5G, whatever the case is.
They see themselves as freedom fighters?
They do,
protecting us from the overlords who want to get into our brain?
Yeah, most certainly.
Are they all voting for Robert F. Kennedy Jr.?
As a matter of fact, they are. They are. What I find, it's frustrating to people I know, but this is what you get when you have a motivated, undereducated population out there, and also people who are tremendously bored. Because when you have things to do in your life, when you have a business, when you have kids, when you have, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Worthwhile pursuits and ways to use your time.
When you're reading books to elderly people in homes, you do not have the time to go down the rabbit hole of 5G is giving children autism and giving people cancer. So that's what I think is going on here. And yes, I think that this is the right. This is Comcast, right? This is a huge deal. And I think there's a reason why they're being targeted. And it's because they're the ones who are distributing the 5G and the 10G network.
I don't know what to do with people who don't want to look at facts or be open to facts or willing to take the stuff on. Is it the fact that everybody's got a keyboard, so we're all now experts in the field?
Yeah, I call it being a junior expert.
Yeah, okay. The JE syndrome.
Yeah, so we'll do this a little bit. A junior expert, what is it and what does it mean and why is it likely terminal? A junior expert is somebody who believes that because they've accumulated a small amount of information that they are well-educated on the topic. For instance, I got an email over the weekend from someone who wanted me to talk about deficit spending. And what they were saying was, look at all the money that we're wasting as Americans by engaging in deficit spending.
Okay.
And they were saying, I can't believe this is the neocons and the neolibs and blah, 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 blah. And they go, they just need to get out of the way. That's a little bit of information that this person is assured that they are an expert in. What they don't realize is that, let us just say that we stop deficit spending. How then do we pay for programs? Because our tax dollars largely go towards offsetting the debt, right? Because we have mandatory payments that we have to make.
Correct.
We have loans that we got to pay back. Otherwise, they're going to repo the Statue of Liberty. Do you know what I'm saying? They're going to repo the Grand Canyon.
Going to come and evict us from the country.
Exactly.
Some of our debtors would happy to do so.
So that's what I mean by someone who's a junior expert. You have a little bit of information on the topic, but you don't actually know how to solve it. So what I said to this person in response is that if you had a 1% billionaire tax, meaning that if you make over $1 billion, you get taxed at 1%, you could pay off the deficit in somewhere in the neighborhood of about 20 years, right? Now,
that's
a solution to that problem. But of course, when you talk about taxes, they go, well, they'll just hide it in offshore accounts. And you say, yes, but then you make a law saying that you can't hide it in offshore accounts. And then they would take it to the Supreme Court. And then they would have to explain to the Supreme Court why they want to steal from the American public. That's basically the way that that breaks down. Being a junior expert is fun.
So, and dangerous sometimes.
Speaking of, by the way, power may be turned off in parts of Washington to prevent wildfires. They started doing this in California, which obviously, when Inslee sees Newsom do it, that means me next. I want to do that too. Now, the reason that they did it in California was because they had old transformer boxes way up back in them hills.
Right. That hadn't been maintained or serviced or updated.
Right. And so what the locals were doing down in California is they were saying to themselves, well, if I shoot it full of bullets and it breaks, maybe then I can...
They'll come and replace it.
Not realizing that when you shoot a transformer box, it then overloads and then sparks all over the place, and then you lose Paradise, California, right?
I'm sure that that's happened, and it's true. I totally believe you on that. I do. Isn't it also true the high winds, though, can take fully functioning and safe transformer boxes and spark those into wildfire?
So what you have are those old poles from the 30s and the 40s and the 50s that have not been maintained in years, right?
Right.
And they're way out there in them hills. And so what often the locals will do is they'll say, we want better, because their power goes out or whatever.
Yeah.
So they'll cut it or they'll manipulate it so that it collapses so that they will come in and it will have to be replaced. So when you say, isn't this a good thing? My response to you would be, why don't these companies just go out there and replace these old transformer boxes?
I'm with you, but since they haven't, and we got another wildfire season coming,
right?
Isn't it smart to learn from the lessons of California and Maui? By the way,
California hasn't learned its lesson.
Should we learn from their experience then?
Okay.
When we have a high wind incident, which we have quite a few more often than we used to have,
sure.
In the summer times, wouldn't it be smart to say, hey, you know, a dead pole can't spark. Let's kill the power during extremely high wind situations.
I mean, it is. It's very reminiscent of 1920s, right? It's very reminiscent of like there's a storm a coming. Remember to take your
Go down the root cellar.
Right, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it doesn't really, it just seems fairly draconian and antiquated to put people through this when the better solution, I think, in so many ways would just be to
make the power
everything.
Companies update their equipment instead of just sucking up profit.
Laura, any chance we got that horn out there? Any chance we got a nice horn or something waiting in the wings to try to... Aha! Laura has decided that...
Yes, Laura has decided.
Talking about power is off the menu. There's an article here from Slate that's talking about LGBT ellipses P, it says.
Mm-hmm.
So they're talking about polyamory, which is something that all the kids are into these days. If you've not heard of polyamory, it's this idea that you can have multiple partners in a relationship and that you are, it's not so much an open relationship as much as it is my girlfriend has a boyfriend who also has a boyfriend who then also has a girlfriend. And so this trend has been ticking up. And so now they're trying to align themselves with the LGBTQ movement, which is going to give conservative commentators a lot to talk about because it's confusing and it's weird, right?
Everything over two made people's head explode.
Right, exactly.
Now we're up into the five or six, seven different definitions of what a couple in person is.
This article from Slate starts like this. In case you hadn't noticed, polyamory is all the rage right now. I know, so hot right now.
All the rage.
All the rage. Laura, do you have any poly friends?
Just on Facebook.
Okay, but not
like
IRL.
People from high school, but okay. Yeah, none of my like close friends.
As a young person, the concept of polyamory, does it give you the ick, or does it make you feel good?
Oh, thank you for speaking in terms that I can understand.
You're welcome.
As a young person.
You're welcome.
It doesn't give me the ick. No.
Would you ever engage in it?
No, I'm an incredibly jealous person.
Yeah, see, yeah. There it is right there. Jealousy. Yeah. Polyamory requires a certain amount of ego death, if that makes sense,
ego
and
death.
A lack of possessiveness for another human being.
Could you describe it as self-confidence?
Self-confidence.
Almost debilitating self-confidence?
Is a lot of it. The person who wrote this article, though, the things that I wish I could express to people basically go like this. Not every aspect of your life needs to be out for everybody.
Thank you.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, not it every exactly aspect of your life. Like, some things can just be private. There's lots of private things about my life that I don't share with anybody. I'll share things like my macaque that I purchased to bring me my heated towels in the morning.
That's courageous of you.
Right?
Yeah.
That's brave. But who you sleep with, what you do, it doesn't make any difference. And the fact that Slate wrote 3,500 words on it just seems to me like, you know, people are into all kinds of weird stuff. Maybe we should just leave it alone.
Let's do that in seven words.
I don't need to know everything about everybody's life, right, Laura?
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Charlie Kirk is going to be speaking at the University of Washington. People are trying to cancel him. Charlie Kirk is the founder of TPUSA, Turning Point USA, in need of a bit of a rebrand, I would say. TPUSA.
I had never noticed that.
That's something that Mike Lindell would come up with, right? I got the best toilet paper out there.
I think you're supposed to wipe your butt with the flag.
So the event's going to be held in the Hub Ballroom tomorrow. And again, people are trying to protest Mr. Kirk. Now, I've got conflicting feelings about this, but because I love America, it's consistent. And we'll talk about it when we get back right after this.
When the effects of that law are felt by citizens of Washington, there's a town like Kelso.
Or based.
Thank you, Dolly Parton, for being a living saint. Ah, yes, Cringer Based, a fun segment we like to do every day, 1:33. Charlie Kirk is a conservative commentator. He's incredibly successful. He's the CEO of Turning Point USA, and he is coming to the UW to speak tomorrow evening. And he's already being protested because we can't have this neo-Nazi fascist coming onto this safe, hallowed space where we're all a bunch of blue-haired lesbians. We can't listen to somebody else say something because it's dangerous and bad, so we have to protest Mr. Kirk. Isn't that right? You guys aren't impressed by this. That's basically what they say, largely because Charlie, unfortunately, because he's not exactly very politically literate, echoes neo-Nazi talking points.
Yes, he
echoes
does.
Fascist talking points. And so people are saying, Jack, you just can't say it without providing evidence. I'll give everybody a big brain response to that. Charlie is a big proponent of the idea of cultural Marxism, which is this idea that the Marxists are infiltrating every level of banks and media to try to turn this all into a Marxist hellscape. That is a repackaging of what the Nazis called cultural Bolshevism. It is built into.
That's not where I thought you were going with that.
Woo! Yeah.
Thank you for the word Bolshevism.
Yeah, exactly. So then what the Nazis called that is they called it cultural Bolshevism because they believed that all Jews were Marxists, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so Charlie is so politically illiterate and inept that he will echo that. He'll go around saying cultural Marxism, cultural Marxism, cultural Marxism, even though Marxism as a political movement is very unpopular within the United States. Now, all that being said, Charlie is a very charismatic. He's got a lot of riz. He mm-hmm. knows how to talk to the kids. He's also wrong about I don't know how many other issues, but it is up to and including, I think, one point in time he said that there was a study that showed that human trafficking had increased sixfold in the United States. But that was a meme on 4chan that he read, and then he just put it back out.
And just repurposed that.
He had to take that tweet down because he was wrong. So when Charlie comes to universities, it's the same reason why Ben Shapiro, Michael Knowles, Matt Walsh, when any conservative goes to a liberal campus, it is so they can get the footage of them owning the libs. It's not to dialogue. It's not to discourse. It's not to change minds.
Yeah,
these are content factories.
Right. All I see is them beating down lesser minds.
Right.
Lesser articulation of points.
Yeah. And if I wanted to, I too could go to a kindergarten and I could make fun of all the stupid kids there. Right. I could do that all day long.
Six-legged turtle, huh, Timmy?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Maybe pick up a welder.
Yeah, that's not blue, Timmy. That's green. Ugh. Big brain. See what these schools are failing our kids. Charlie follows this model because it's, one, very profitable, but two, it's very good for him because when you punch down and when you beat up on the woke left or whatever it is, you're just showing your audience your supremacy in that arena. Charlie Kirk won't debate people who have even a semblance of a strong political ideology or strong political convictions, who are well educated on it, because he does not want to look bad. If you look at the debate that he had with Sank from the Young Turks, Hassan, he goes ballistic because he gets so frustrated in that debate. He stands up, he starts yelling at people. He's not good at it. He is a terrible debater. He traffics in conspiracy theory. So that's why he has to do this punching down, talking to the libs, going to talk to a bunch of they-thems about transgenders or whatever it is, so that his product can continue, which is why I would recommend to the kids over at the UW, go, listen, say nothing, ask no questions, because you're giving the man what he wants. Should he be able to speak? Absolutely, 100%.
Yeah, we're
empirically,
yeah.
He should be able to be there. Yeah. If you want to listen, go, engage. But if you're going to try to get into a debate, you're going to fail every time. And I'll give you a really quick example. George Lopez told a story one time about how he was up on stage and he was talking into a – he's doing a joke, mm-hmm. and he's bombing. And there's a lady in the front that said that, well, give me the mic. I can do a joke. So he hands her the mic and she does a joke and she gets a laugh. And he said, you never hand the mic to a member from the audience that you can't take back. If you look at the way that they structure these debates, these kids aren't even allowed to hold the microphones.
Right.
It's somebody from TPUSA. So they take the mic away from them. So there is no chance for debate. There is no chance for discourse. It's just to get that 30 to 60 to 90 second clip of Charlie Kirk dunking on the woke left, when really it's a 19 or a 20 year old poli sci major who's in their second year, who knows nothing about politics, who has no media training, and who has no idea how to use a microphone, let alone speak with conviction. That is the problem with this entire setup. But thankfully, there's a bunch of boomers out there who love this. They can't get enough of, yeah, make that 19-year-old look stupid, even though they don't know what they're talking about. It's embarrassing. Charlie Kirk should be embarrassed to do this kind of activity, but he does it anyway, and people should go and they should see it. That's my verdict. Those are my conflicting feelings about it.
I just hope that the folks who are unhappy with all the protests that are going on campuses across the country would have the same kind of acceptance and empathy for the fans of Charlie Kirk.
I would hope so.
You talk about being even-handed, which I love about you, right? I hope Charlie Kirk's tour is the Live Free tour, right? I hope he's letting lesbians live free. I hope he's letting LGBTP live free. I hope he's letting all the protesters live free.
No.
Because, I mean, I also would not like to see campuses shut down opposing points of view, because it hurts people's feelings.
We got to beat the Marxists, though, Spike. We got to beat all these cultural Marxists out there is what we got to do, buddy. We got to defeat the Marxist infiltrators, these hedge funds that give classes out there, right?
I found that bad ideas die on their own if you just let them. If you cut off the supply, oxygen supply to really bad business models and bad ideas, they'll die on their own.
Right, but Kirk needs the this is his business. Outrage.
He needs second-year students to come up and be his grist for his mill.
Yeah, and so that's the conservative media model now, and it's really quite very sad, because if you watch someone like William F. Buckley back in the day, he was talking to everybody. Didn't make any difference. He'll talk to Gore Vidal. He'll debate anybody in front of him about whatever issue. James Baldwin. He was talking to everybody about what Billy Baldwin, Alec Baldwin.
All the Baldwins were there,
right? That is where we used to be with discourse. But right. Now what you see is what's the most successful conservative media model. Go look it up. It's Ben Shapiro owns. Charlie Kirk owns. Matt Walsh owns. That's a serious issue. If your greatest interlocutor, if your greatest debate partner is a 19-year-old and you're a 30-something-year-old man, that's embarrassing. I mean, Spike, that is a social equivalent of me going into a sixth-grade history class and debating kids on the founding fathers and what they really meant. It is embarrassing, but it makes a lot of money. So congratulations to Mr. Kirk.
I'm sure it'll sell out.
I mean, he's got a sweet mansion in Phoenix, and he's got a condo in Florida, and all that's paid for.
Yeah.
By these speaking engagements and his radio show and his YouTube show. And again, I would never do that. I would not do that because I think that it's embarrassing. And I think that if you're going to talk to 20-year-old kids, you need to do so in a certain way with a certain amount of discourse, a certain amount of respect. And also just fielding questions like that so that my social media team can cut it up and put it all over Instagram and Facebook. I see the grift, man. I see right through it. And it is really quite very sad. I asked Rance if I could actually get in on that, so I go see Kirk.
Yeah.
He said he wouldn't give me tickets. He wouldn't give them to me.
He's afraid you'll get a microphone in your hand and not give it back?
I mean, I wouldn't talk to... If I talked to Kirk, it would have to be he and I just right. discoursing, and it would primarily probably be about trans people and gay people.
I'd love to hear the conversation.
I would mostly also like to question his evidence as to how birth control makes women bitter and vote Democrat. That's an interesting thing that he said.
That's what happened for me.
Yeah, there you go. That's how you get a liberal. How you get libs, you give them birth control.
I thought you gave them welfare. That's what Trump said. That's what I heard the former president say this weekend.
All right. We'll take a really quick break when we get back. Oh, yes. Yeah, something that makes me deeply upset. The zebra story comes to an end. And as someone who works in the media, I can tell you what oversaturation is. I can tell you.
Could you bring up 30 or 40 examples for us?
I'll bring up a couple hundred from this weekend when we get back right after this.
Rage Bait. What's grinding your gears today?
Another song I want. I asked for a totally different song. That's such good production. I wanted Slayer. Remember that?
Did you? My mistake.
That's funny, though. That one works, though, too, because Deep Voice Guy had to say Rage Bait while Katrina and the Waves was playing in the background.
I'm starting to feel mad.
Yeah. Okay, so I spend my free time reading news and watching movies and being addicted to Overwatch too, right? That's what I do with my doing yoga. That's what I do with my free time. And so when one of those things is disrupted, I feel as if I am disrupted. I feel as if my chi is off, my okay. general alignment with the universe is off. And I'll tell you guys that over the weekend, as I was kind of picking and pulling stories to talk about today, doing my research, mm-hmm. do you know what I mean?
Sure.
Contemplating the end of my life. Normal things that people do.
You spend a weekend.
Thinking about inevitable death and wondering why there's suffering in the world. All I saw everywhere, national news, local news, evasive missing zebra mare recovered in Washington State. Oh, thank God, I said out loud. A zebra. We all know that we don't have enough of those in the world. Am I right or am I right? Thankfully, we found the zebra, which had been missing from our presence. I feel better as a human being. I feel as if my life has been improved. Laura, I'm assuming that you feel much the same way.
I feel like our streets are safer.
I feel like our streets are safer as well, that the zebra has been caught. Andrew, do you feel safer? You live out in the woods.
I wish I lived out in the woods, but if I did live out in the woods... I don't think I'd care, because if a zebra tried to mess with me, I would just fire my firearm at it.
Andrew, this is unbelievably disappointing. One, to find out that you would shoot the majestic zebra, but then two, that you...
If it's charging at me.
Okay, that's a good point. But then two, the zebra is the most dangerous creature on God's planet. You can never tell if there's one or 400 of them. That's why they have stripes. Two, if you just think about this for like 2 seconds, No one needed to know about this story. It is a novelty. It is not fun. It's not interesting. It's not cute. It's not quaint. It's not a little girl getting cochlear implants so she hears for the first time.
Oh, isn't that a wonderful video?
It's not a baby wearing glasses and seeing his mom's face for the first time. It is a zebra which got loose and then was caught. And this has been oversaturated in the media to such an extent that when I typed in Washington State News, the first 40 stories, zebra, zebra, zebra. Look at all these zebras. This is literal madness. This is insanity. And I'm the only person who sees it. And you guys, Laura, you're typing. Spike, you're looking at your phone. I am the only person who cares about this.
I'm looking at zebra phone.
This is
zebra pictures. This is great.
This is zebra derangement syndrome to the max. This is worse than when Trump was in office.
CDS, and it
was,
I like this.
Well, let's look at the way he drinks water, and let's look at the way he walks, and let's analyze his suit size, and let's look at his belt. And bah, bah, bah. This is a literal sickness that we have as consumers, where we will skip over important news like a tax levy, or skip over news like, did you read about that settlement from Washington State Patrol?
No.
Of course you didn't, because you don't read the news. It's $750,000. It's an amazing amount of money. But we got to focus on zebras, baby, because who cares about real news when we got a zebra on the loose? Come on, you guys. You guys are not taking this seriously. I found myself
actually looking for a place to dine this weekend, and I decided to go to the restaurant that didn't put a zebra into their social media post. I must have seen 500 different Photoshop zebra here, zebra there, everywhere. Although there was one I liked. There was one I really liked that I wished was true, that someone had taken the zebra and made him the mascot for the Seattle Mariners for the weekend. They had taken the moose and put a guy in a zebra suit in the Mariners jersey, and he was out there working at Safeco Field. That one I would have liked to see. That would have been clever and creative and useful for the Mariners to jump on the Z wagon.
I am convinced.
I'm glad it's over.
I am convinced that there is an effort in the news to turn us all into children, to turn us all into stupid babies who don't care about news unless it involves an animal, unless it involves colors and shapes and letters. A, B, C, D. You know what? That should just be the news from now on. It should just be sing-along nursery rhymes while we sit in our little, what's the thing they put in a baby's?
A mobile.
A mobile, yeah. Just a little mobile, yeah, with the baby. I don't need the news. I'm just a stupid baby. Like, this is not news. It is not newsworthy. It's not interesting. It invokes no form of advanced thought other than, Laura, who disagrees with me in the text line? I'm looking at you right now, nodding along with somebody. Who disagrees with me in the text line?
No one disagrees with you in the text line.
That's a lie. Don't lie to me, Laura. Who disagrees with
me? I'll continue to lie to you about the text line.
Thank you.
And happily, with a smile on my face.
We were all rooting for the cougar stalking that zebra last weekend.
You said it was a problem that would take care of itself.
I thought it was. I thought it was a problem that would handle itself. There's a cougar out there tracking the zebra faster than we were.
I get called a narcissist a lot, and it's true. What? Because it's 100% accurate, because I do think that I'm better than most people, because I don't waste my time worrying about whether or not they found the elusive zebra.
Sugar. Her name was Sugar.
Oh, good. I'm glad to know.
Call
that.
Her by her name.
I will immediately forget.
I will now immediately forget
that information. Charging documents reveal really gross details in the murder case against the ex-Bothell council member. In reading this, I think we need to have a talk about toxic relationships, because the subtext underneath this is a lot of abuse,
yep,
and a lot of sure warning is. Signs, and I think it's important to recognize when behavior is starting to step over the line. A couple of boys down in Pendleton, they are going to take a plea deal for J6. Ooh. I know, that's what I thought too. It's 2004, what's going on? Or 2024.
24, yeah.
What's going on? And why is Seattle's 3rd Avenue not recovering? Somebody decided to blame something other than the homeless people. But I think they're totally right about it. Wow. I think they're totally right about it. We'll talk about it when we get back right after this.